Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Game Vault Pod News Hour. It's going to be a jump scare every time I do this, so get used to it. How's everybody doing? Just got a little bit of allergies here, so don't mind me sniffing a bit on camera. I think we're going to start off like we do every podcast. This being the News Hour and all, or hour, in quotes, with what I've been playing. And maybe some of you in chat or in the comments and on YouTube can let me know what you guys have been playing. For me, I'll start off. I jumped back into Rebirth just to finish up some fights and test some strategies I've seen and sort of, prepare for if I'm actually going to do hard mode. I want to get some of the Metal Militia. Being able to play Rebirth again. I just want to get some of the armor and, or I should say accessories and stuff that you get by beating some of the challenges regular. I'm about to test for one of these fights if I can do it on easy and get the same reward just to see. Because I'm having a difficult time with it. And just because I think you have to beat the boss in one certain way. And I'm just not really getting there. I have found that I am liking Yuffie a lot more as a character. I may even go back and, a little bit earlier chapter and maybe get some other stuff and see if that'll help for this. But, I wrapped up most of the things. There's some Gold Saucer stuff I still got to do. I haven't touched G-Bike yet. I haven't finished up all the side quests. I think I want to do all that and see, to get everything I can on a normal or easy run. However, if it doesn't matter, I might research that tonight. Just so if when I jump into hard mode, whether that be on stream or on my own, I am fully as decked out as possible because I'm going to need some help. I think I'm going to hit the level cap before even getting into hard. So that'll be interesting. So experience points will mean absolutely nothing to me. That's about it. So I might just jump into hard mode I'm going to look through and see what all the other things I can get are for, if it's like earring stuff, I don't really need it. But if there's some kind of weapons or dark matter or things like that that can, help me out, I may do that. We'll see. It'll be interesting. But that game is so much fun. So much fun. It is going to be hard to beat that for my game of the year. I have not looked out and seeing what is coming out this year that has a shot at beating it. There's always something. I had thought, Link to the Past. Not Link to the Past, I'm sorry. Tears of the Kingdom would have been far and away my game of the year. And then, Alan Wake 2 and, a bunch of Sea of Stars and a bunch of other stuff comes out later in the year. And surprises. But this game, I'm over 115 hours roughly in it, so it's going to be pretty difficult, and I'm watching every video I can on it. It's going to be hard to put away, because I don't have anything up on the horizon that I'm not streaming, coming up new here, so I would love to know your Rebirth thoughts. If you're in chat, try to keep them as non-spoilery as possible, as Metal Militia has not finished it yet. I don't know if he checks the YouTube comments, but if you want to leave them there, you can. I will tell him to avoid the YouTube comments. So that's Rebirth talk. The main thing I've been playing, is I've been playing, Fallout. And not specific to one game. So I'll start with just the games, and then we can talk about the show, because I finished the show as well. I'll try to keep that as non-spoilery as possible. For the games, I loaded up, Fallout 3. I've downloaded Fallout on three different locations. I got Fallout 3 on the PlayStation 3, but that's streaming through PS Plus. Hey, Night Doc, how you doing? Yes, Big Mark. We're just starting off the show here. I downloaded that. It's streaming, so even though that game's not very good graphically, comparative to other Fallouts, I played through the first half when you get out of your vault and stuff like that. But then I downloaded it on PC through Game Pass Ultimate. And that's the Game of the Year edition, which I guess added a lot of upgrades and plus the DLCs and stuff, because that came out to be 43 more gigabytes than the download on PlayStation. I think it's like 49 something, and I think it's 6 something on PS5. I also downloaded Fallout 76, New Vegas, and I downloaded 4 for the stream coming up next week, all onto the Xbox Series X, so I'm excited to see what those look like on there. It looks like the PlayStation, just doing the streaming, is not doing it any justice, so I am excited to go PC Xbox route for getting my Fallout fixed. I forgot that Fallout 3 has Liam Neeson in it. That's my plan for the streams here. Next Sunday, once the patch drops, we will play with the new patch on, and then see if, see how far we can get in it. I would like to try and get as far as possible. But that is a game that we can definitely bounce off of if I want something else to fill that slot. Cause as I had said, if you watch the Cyberpunk stream on Thursday, or last night if you're watching this live, I have 3 slots that are solid. Well, 4 technically if you count this, but I don't count this as a streaming slot. This is more streaming / podcast. Mondays is going to be the Retro Roulette Endurance Runs, where I play an hour of a set game. Right now we're going through Super Mario World 2, Yoshi's Island, and we are... hopefully finishing that up before Tom comes back from paternity leave. That is the challenge. I may or not get there. Depends on how long Tom wants to stay out. Yeah, so that's why, as you mentioned, Cyberpunk 77 is a little bit better of a dystopian future, as most Cyberpunk things are, than Fallout's nuclear apocalypse setting. That is going to be our Thursday stream. I forgot how good that game looks. And how good combat feels, and I'm just getting used to the new stuff, especially for the tech trees and all that. I doubt they're going to have my broken thing of being able to use the infection thing, or whatever it was called, and bumping myself up enough that it would just basically chain react and kill an entire building with just one hack. So we'll build it there, but we're definitely building Netrunner /, person that doesn't do much in terms of hand-to-hand combat. So that's Thursday. And then Saturdays is the, we can just call it like RPG night. I'm playing through Persona 3 Reload. Once that's over, it'll switch over to Eterna Knights. And then, whatever. Maybe we'll go to Persona 4. Maybe we'll go find something else. But I want that to be like sort of the chill RPG night there. I'm not going to go anything old school. Where it involves a lot of grinding or a lot of, checking guides and all to make sure we don't screw ourselves at any point. That's mainly the stuff I've been playing. I do my sports games, so I've been playing through, NHL and NBA was because I did the upgrade on PS Plus for the next couple months for like $4 just to be able to play Fallout, which is probably a bad decision, but $4 is nothing, so I'll just bump back down when my renewal comes up. Just going through that stuff. Basically, on the sports front, I'm just eagerly anticipating NCAA, and I hope it's on PC, just because I feel like the customization would be a lot easier in that regard. If you remember numbers backward. But most importantly, I think that the best thing I've seen this week is I watched through the Fallout TV show that was on Prime. Before last episode, I had just watched the pilot and was intrigued. But as I had said on subsequent streams, I might have even mentioned it on here last time. The main thing was for Fallout veterans. That first episode felt a little bit grueling just because we all know that there's an inciting event that makes somebody leave the vault. And you sit through for like 40 minutes waiting for that to happen. So, that was the one grueling part. But it was good to see, once they do that, how everything looks from there. The The one interesting part is the three main characters, which is not a spoiler. You've seen it all over the media. You have Lucy, who's played perfectly by Ella Purnell. Maximus, the brother of Steel Guy, and Walton Goggins, the man, the myth, the legend, playing the ghoul. They all represent the three ways you can take morality in that game. I was kind of thinking that, and then a couple people, you know, talking about it in reviews and stuff kind of confirmed that. At least, I don't know if the creators or anything have said specifically if we're correct, but the idea that, yeah, Walter Goggins is so good in that show. So, like, Lucy represents, you know, the good playthrough. The ghoul represents an evil playthrough, or just the bad playthrough. And then Maximus is the very neutral, only caring about yourself. Not so much going around wanting to kill people, but will choose yourself over other people. So a very neutral stance on people. And there's a couple scenes in it that I'm not going to get to because I don't want to spoil anything. Where you can definitely see that come out in him. I think the best parts of that show are where they show you things that you're very familiar with in the Fallout world, but don't sort of like give that wink, wink, nod, nod sort of thing that I think a lot of you know shows that sort of have a source material that everyone knows does sometimes. This very much, you know, we just leave the things out there and for you to discover the, you know, Easter eggs on your own. And even when they mention certain things that have, like, relevance in the world, they do it in a very nonchalant manner and just, you know, how people in that world would talk about them and not know that they're references to a video game. There are certain creatures that don't appear, which is a very smart idea to hold those off for season two, which we have news on that coming up in the news section. And, you know, I love the idea of sort of following, it's sort of spreading out the, I'm trying to say this as vaguely and carefully as possible without spoiling, how they spread out the information you get of what happened before the bombs drop. And for those of you who played the games, we already, you can kind of see some of the stuff coming because they are playing off things that have been referenced in games before. But for, I kept trying to look at the game through like the eyes of a, person who's never played the games. And the way they spread that out and keep, you know, a lot of that stuff a mystery until certain points, at the end. You know, it was really good. And if you were listening closely, you could catch most of it, even if you were a newbie. But they did a really good job with it. And all the choices for characters or the actors they chose for the characters were pretty spot on. Maximus is probably the weakest of the protagonists in it in terms of what he brought to it. But I think... being in the Brotherhood and all, that it's really a weird spot to be in. I actually liked his friend in the Brotherhood of Steel a lot more, the Maximus himself. But, you know, you have to have someone that's, you know, on Maximus' side in the Brotherhood for either future, you know, wrestling terms, heel turns and stuff like that that can happen. I did love the fact that they didn't make... the characters change without reason. It's the easiest way to say that without, spoiling too much. But, you know, just having the events happen to them be the reason that certain aspects of their character previously is now different or altered or, you know, or like experience gained and stuff like that. They do a lot, they open very much on the pilot, showing Lucy sort of explaining the special system, without actually saying it's a special system, because that would be kind of hard to explain to someone just coming at it from a TV series, But again, for those of us that might, you can sort of pick up on what they were putting down, for sure. The sets looked amazing, or some of the live locations. I saw an interview with Ella Purnell, and she said that they shot one of the scenes in the desert area in Namibia, over in Africa, or Nambia, probably is the proper way to pronounce that. Again, Friday brain sometimes. And like, it was like practical set. Like, it wasn't like the Mandalorian, you know, modified green screen, you know, video board thing. You know, so it kept a lot of the feelings and the motions of walking through a wasteland as you walk through a desert that has a, you know, shipwreck in it for real. Kind of helps you feel that. You mean Unreal Engine? Yeah. Yeah, essentially. But, you know, seeing that some of those, I'm sure some of them were, you know, Unreal stuff or you know, CG generated or whatever. You know, but hearing that some of them, they actually went to practical locations to at least try and get as real as possible for, you know, for a Fallout game. Yeah, I know there's some arguments with timeline stuff, but, you know, Todd Howard came out and said that everything that happened in every previous game that's in the canon, because there's like two games that aren't technically in the canon. I think that's Fallout Tactics and the Brotherhood of Steel side games aren't canon. But for all the other ones, they are all canon and occurred, and all the events occurred. And that events that sort of seemed to conflict with that were just things that happened after the events of that particular game. So that goes against my I think I said last week, where I said that they were just focusing on the Bethesda sort of part of the game. Oh, I didn't actually know they used Unreal Engine for The Mandalorian. I thought you were just making a joke about video boards. That's pretty interesting. But yeah, to see that some of this stuff was practical, like I said, added to it. But yeah, I had said that, you know, they didn't really care about the New Vegas timeline and all that. But apparently they did. So kudos to Todd Howard and everybody over there at Bethesda Game Studios for not just shunning the game not made by them. I'm trying to think anything else I can point out about it. I guess final thoughts is they ended season one in a very Fallout fashion story. Like, it felt like, if you ever played the Fallout games, you know, the main quest and stuff sort of has branching things where what the main story you start out with in the beginning, you complete that, and then another main story opens. I'm not talking like quest in there. It's like, I think 3 might be the only one that has like a final, or it's like not as much, but like, you know, Fallout 4 has to get to Diamond City as your first thing. And you go do that, and then it opens to a second thing, and then a third, and on. This is a very good end. Feels like the halfway point in the game, and leaves it on a very good terms, and makes you want, you know, to know what they would do with the season 2. I think you could easily get 3 to 4 seasons out of this, just because there's so much they have not touched yet, and there's so much story they can tell, and they don't have to stay with these characters. They could jump for another season to, like, the Commonwealth, you know, over in Boston, or Capital Wasteland, or hell, maybe even do a few episode, you know, flashback and show, like, the Battle of Anchorage or something like that. And, you know, pre-bomb stuff in Alaska. You know, there's a lot of things they could jump around to sort of spread it out. So it'll be interesting. So that's about what I've been doing for the past week here. Just a lot of Fallout. And I am not complaining. Fallout is one of my, game series. The one funny thing is, being someone that has played a lot of Fallout, there were times watching the show where you sort of get that sort of like tenseness when you see them like walk past lootable items. Like you see duct tape, or you see something else, you're like, pick that up, that you need that. I guess you don't really need that in the TV show. But yeah, it kind of gives you that Luke Goblin brain. Yeah, exactly. it was funny. I would love to have been sitting next to someone that has never played the games, and just see, like, that it goes, like, over their head. Like, they don't really think about that. Yeah. And, like, the first thing in the pilot, which I don't mind spoiling stuff, but they, when she's got a, first thing I see the first aid kit thing on the wall that looks just like the game. I'm just like, oh, that's where her stim pack is. Go get that. Yeah. And I also love the idea of the final thing is that I love the idea that the stim pack isn't like, you know, you just put it in your shoulder and it heals whatever. That they literally put the stim pack in where their injury is and then push the button and then that's how it heals it. So that's a good way to get that item that is basically magic juice in the games. So yeah, and then they have a fun way of showing certain things with other famous treatments, medical treatments in the game. Yeah, hopefully you've had the chance to check it out. If not, I highly, highly recommend it. I would say give it a little bit if you're not a huge Fallout fan. It actually gets good as a TV show after the first couple episodes because I think the first episode or two are more kind of fan service-y a little bit. As they start to get the story rolling, they just show you these locations, you know, and show you certain different things that you have come to expect before focusing on the actual show's story. All right, let's make sure this is lined up here. All right, let's switch over to, yeah, there we go. All right, so as I said, Fallout officially renewed for season 2. You know, everybody basically coming back. You know, that you would want, you know, Ella and Aaron and Walton and Kyle and I thought Kyle MacLachlan is amazing in this show, as he always is. But yeah, definitely, you know, definitely good to see that it did get, you know, officially renewed, for the, next season here. So yeah. And most importantly, the second season, you know, some spoilers here, but you know, they're mentioning in this season, they're mentioning Death Claws and things, like that, here. And, you know, just basically this article here just talks about that there's, you know, iconic monsters that'll show up, that don't show up in the thing. You know, a little bit of spoiler there, but, you would hope that they wouldn't shoot their load, too much, with that. Yeah, so Fallout, thumbs up. All right, on to video game news. Hades 2's technical test was announced. I have not been able to jump in. I haven't decided if I am going to jump in for this, just mainly because, you know, I just want to get this at 1.0, like I did with Hades, and not have to play through this stuff, get my hopes up, and then need to wait a year for it. I'd rather get it once everything is worked out. But if you were interested, you know, Supergiant Games has this technical test up. You just need to go to the Steam page, request access. And then you'll be invited. You'll receive a Steam instructions and all that. You know, so it's sort of like a chance lottery sort of thing, but it does give you the chance, but I think I'm still going to wait for, 1.0, but that is just me. You know, that is something I feel helped my, ability to enjoy, you know, the original game so much, is that I didn't have to wait through the growing pains. So I might change my mind if when early access comes out. But right now I am 100% on board with waiting. Hades was my game of the year. The year it came out. I've beaten Hades so many times. And the problem is that you're like encouraged to beat it with every weapon and all that. But I think I've beaten it 90% of the time with one weapon because I kind of learned how to play really well with that weapon. And I know that if I go in to just try and get, you know, the scrolls and stuff I need to like 100% stuff to get like the real ending and all that stuff, which I've not gotten yet. I want to make sure I know the weapon inside and out and how it would interact with whatever, you know, special thing I get. So excited about Hades 2. I'm just going to wait for that 1.0. You know, I'm going to go and just, you know, maybe I'll watch some streams and stuff just to see what it looks like. But for myself, I think I'm going to wait. All right. Next story. EA says the Black Panther game appears to be open world. Sort of a sandbox type deal there. The way people are figuring this out is that, as you can see in the story here, the job post that EA put up is looking for a senior sandbox designer to role for the, you know, Cliffhanger Games, which is the new studio that's making Black Panther. And they just want to, you know, a dynamic and evolving open world. Someone has, like, experience doing that. And for those of you who didn't hear, you know, the Cliffhanger Studios has some people that made Shadow of Mordor. You know, so that open world was pretty good. So, you know, I would be hoping that they would, you know, be able to, you know, make a sandbox world like this. And, you know, it seems like by reading the story that they want, you know, seamless transitions, kind of like Rebirth, urban crowds, wildlife, you know, just try and be able to make it feel as lived in as possible. I don't know how much in terms of, unless if this is a, you know, the upgraded newer engine stuff than what Rebirth has, if you can do more in terms of people in places, and animals and stuff like that. But yeah, they just want to accomplish that thing of, you know, just trying to make it as seamless open world as possible. I think it's a good way to go with Black Panther. You know, the sort of idea you can do some sort of iconic, locations and stuff like that. And backdrops and all, especially if you keep it around Wakanda and just the African region that that's supposed to be in, sort of, you know, the surrounding safari area and stuff like that. So up next we have, for those of you that may for some reason still be playing Little Big Planet 3, the servers have been officially shut down indefinitely. You know, it's the thing that sucks about modern gaming. It's essentially that you can play these worlds. There's 10 million levels in there that have been made that are just completely gone, unless if somebody figures out a way to get, you know, back-end door hack or whatever they do to keep servers going. But I think for the most part, these can be gone. You know, there was, as I said, there was some trouble with the service, so they just decided to shut it down. You know, some of these things are going to be hard to explain to children. You know, you're... Oh, someone hacked it. Okay. Yeah. I would imagine, even that. Oh, okay. That explains it a little bit more. Jonathan, thank you for that. That's down because of a hack and they just decided not to restore it, instead of, you know, fix the hack was. But, it still leads to my point, like, you know, having to explain to someone, like, between ages 5 and 7, like, why they can't play the game they've been playing, is going to be a tough thing that parents have to sort of, wade through now, that our parents never really had to, at least when our game stopped working, it was because a cartridge broke or a CD broke or CD scratched or something that could physically, you know, show, was broken. You know, we've had some servers shut down for other things in the past, but this is like, a lot of kids nowadays are used to, especially that younger age, very much used to their things. Yeah, exactly. And, you know, they're going to, you know, say there's a 7-year-old that made like 20 levels in this game. It was something he was really good at and proud of, or she was really good at and proud of. And now it's just gone. And trying to explain to them why it's just gone and why you can't call up the Sony people and get their stuff back is something that's going to be, you know, an interesting thing going forward. Especially, you know, I don't know, Roblox and things like that, that also have user-created content on there, you know, how that stuff's going to go in the future. But, you know, it's an interesting conundrum, I guess. I guess maybe it won't affect the kids as much as we're thinking it will, and they'll just find the new thing later. But I can't imagine that first day of, you know, their thing not being available is going to be easy. So, yeah, yeah. So if you had Little Big Planet stuff, it's gone now. So, I normally do this with things being added to PS Plus and Game Pass, but in May, there's going to be 25 games that are set to leave Plus, so if you have PlayStation Plus, pay attention here. And as this subhead says, Dave the Diver is coming, so maybe I'll get to play that game. But just in case, there's the list. It looks like all of your Final Fantasy stuff, if you had downloaded any of that stuff, World of Final Fantasy, your 9 through, the remasters, here, I guess just say, they will, it was at May 21st, they will all be leaving, so if you haven't beaten those games or want to beat them, you have until then to do it. But then there's some other games here, like Abzu, and, this is the only one that I've actually played. That's on here. But yeah, it lists the games right here. I can go through them. For those of you not watching the stream, you have Abzu from PS4, Adrift, How to Survive 2, The Artful Escape, Ashen, Last Stop, I Am Dead, Absolver Downfall, My Friend Pedro, The Messenger. Oh, I've heard of The Messenger. I actually played that. I didn't completely overlook that. Jouten. Sundered, World of Final Fantasy, as I mentioned, this is the Police, and This is the Police 2, Elix, Monster Jam Steel Titans 2, Minute, Observation, Final Fantasy 9, Final Fantasy 7, Final Fantasy 8 Remastered, Final Fantasy 12 The Zodiac Age, Final Fantasy 15 Royal Edition, and Final Fantasy 10-2 HD Remaster. And that's 7, the original, the PS1, not remake, anything like that. So, yeah. So, if you're interested in playing those games, you have a little bit of time there. And as I mentioned, if you were looking to jump into Dave the Diver and didn't really have a PC game there, it's just, there you go. List is still up there for those of you watching like that. You just be sure to play any of these games or beat any of them. If you have not yet, I might jump in the World of Final Fantasy, just to check it out, where it goes. But yeah, so this is the downside of the streaming services, is sometimes you get a list like this of games that are gone. Like, Game Pass had all the Persona games leave. The original three, the Fez version of 3, 4, and, 5, I believe, Royal Edition, all left. I believe. I have that for PlayStation, though not really a factor to me, but yeah, this is the downside. These things may come back, they may not. I could see Final Fantasy coming back at some point, but yeah, there you go. So our next story. So if you haven't gotten into the VR thing, and as someone that owns a Quest 2, they are slashing the model for the 128GB down to $200. I think if you were interested in it, Quest 2 is probably, a nice entry point, into, VR gaming. I like it a lot. I mean, I only play 2 games on it. I have Beat Saber and, Super Hot. But it's, you don't need a computer for it. You can download games to it. And, there is, plenty to do about it. Because Quest 3 has been out for about a year, this makes sense, sort of just sell out the inventory for the Quest 2s, just to make room for, Quest 3 availability. I'm sure Quest 3 is much better for obvious reasons, but yeah. Now, not much talked about VR gaming in terms of the mainstream general video game talk, but if you have any interest in it, I do recommend it. It's good for, someone that doesn't want to have a room dedicated to a computer, or their computer is set in a room where you can't really do VR if it's connected to a computer. The Quest lets you take this out to your living room or a bigger space to be able to play some of those games. So I think it's a great deal to jump on here at, $199. I bought it at the $299 price. I got it about 2 years ago almost. It was one of my first big purchases when I moved into my apartment. So, yeah. Then I think, yeah, it's definitely something to be a good ground floor if you ever had interest in. And our final story is just a funny story that I bring up just because it is hilarious and I've been laughing about it all day. Tesla recalls every Cybertruck over faulty accelerator pedal. So, the Tesla Cybertruck, the worst looking vehicle I've ever seen in my life, has an issue, as you can kind of see from the video here, where the accelerator pedal gets stuck. It's in all of them. It's not in certain models. It's not in certain, you know, like assembly, like dates. Like there was just an error on the assembly line one day. This is for all of them. And it is hilarious. this is taking place. And yeah, this is, for me, two things. It's just hilarious that, every vehicle Elon Musk tries to put out there hilariously fails for the most part, for a while, or has some hilarious big flaw about it. This isn't, the Tesla never had, the car never had anything this bad, to where they had to recall everything. But yeah, the, I don't know how, like he's showing the little cover thing can get stuck behind or on top of the thing and keep the accelerator going. So, such a genius there, our owner of X Twitter, there. Yeah, it's, I don't feel bad for at all for anybody that bought these trucks. They look stupid, and they look like something a villain in a RoboCop show or movie would drive. So yeah, have fun out there with your Cybertrucks, people. So yeah, that'll do it for the news here. Yeah, back to Big Mark. Yeah, thank you guys for joining me. That was a little bit longer this time. I think my opening, basically one of my news stories was the Fallout review. So, we stretched it out a bit there, but yeah, I'm looking to have these be anywhere from like 35 minutes to an hour, depending on how much news there is. They may go over an hour during like Summer Games Fest, June, summertime with a lot of, where I'll be recapping those events that take place. So just be aware of that, but I think this is going good. You know, it gives me a good time to sort of interact with chat, you know, Night Duck and Metal Militia are here. Hope some more of yous, you know, come in and join, and we can just, it's this time to just chit-chat. Like, you listen to the podcast for all these years of just me, Tom, and Jen talking, and you're probably yelling at your podcast thing, hey, Mark, that's wrong, or hey, Tom, no, stop talking about Final Fantasy VII, or Jen, Phasmophobia is not fun, you know, you're just screaming at your podcast saying stuff like that. Here's your chance to jump in. As Night Duck did tonight, enlightened me about the Unreal Engine for The Mandalorian, which I did not know about. And also corrected me on the spot with the Little Big Planet story. So that's what I'm looking for here. I think that'll be a fun part of this. Yeah, it's just having the interaction. Now that it's weekly, you know, we can get into it. Maybe have some debates and things like that. As we get into, you know, summer reveal season, about what people thought about trailers and different things. And yeah, this will be fun. So yeah, sort of finishing up here with, housekeeping again, streams, you know, during the week, are definitely, 3 times a week for streaming games. We have Monday, Thursday, and Saturday. Monday is Retro Roulette Endurance Run. Or the normal Monday stuff when Tom comes back. Thursday is Cyberpunk 2077, until either we beat it or we get bored of it. Saturday is our sort of RPG, JRPG day, where I'll play games like that I want to play. You know, right now we're playing through Persona 3 Reload. You know, we have Eternal Knights coming out. Maybe we do some Tales games. Just something. Saturday nights, just play. Maybe we go back to Trails in the Sky and do Part 2. For that. And then Sundays, I have labeled for Fallout, right now, just because I'm in a Fallout mood. And again, if we get bored with that, we can either just axe the Sunday, or we can, find something else to fill it with. But I am looking to stay on schedule with Monday, Thursday, Saturday. All of this is barring life events coming up. I know there's going to be a weekend in July where I am definitely not going to be streaming because I will be in Pittsburgh with my niece's softball team. You know, things like that. So just be aware, you know, that it's all subject to change, but those 3 days should happen every, just about, I would say, 99% of it. And then this stream that you're listening to here, or podcast, if you're listening to it, that's coming out on Monday, is every Friday, 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, or Eastern Standard when we get there, where I'm just going through this. I might even keep this up. This will be like the in-between weeks when we're actually recording the actual podcast. So at that point, maybe I'll be joined by Tom or Jen, you know, or, you know, Jonathan jumping in. You know, if there's something big that I would like someone else to be here talking about, that'll be just a little mini podcast, you know, for that. I think I'll leave the guests for, like, big stories that come out. So we can sort of go from there and play this. I'm having a lot of fun with this. I was a little anxious and worried about how this show would go, but I'm having a lot of fun. I hope you guys are too. Yeah, and that'll do it for me. Hopefully you guys will be back tomorrow for Persona 3 Reload. The start times for that, it's going to be a range. I will say anytime between 7 p.m. and 9 p.m. Just depending on if I'm out on Saturday. If I have things to do or events to go to, it'll err more towards the 9 p.m. side. If I happen to be home all day Saturday and just basically taking care of apartment cleaning stuff, you know, just basically doing a relaxing Saturday. We'll go a little earlier. We'll go 7 and maybe go a little longer on those days too. Same goes for Sunday. Sunday works the same way. I think the only streams that have dedicated times would be 9:30 on Monday, just so we can keep that in line for when Tom comes back. And then this stream on Friday is 9 p.m. The other ones are always floating. But I will try and keep them as close to a normal time as possible. So you guys all know when to tune in. But, yeah. Thank you guys for joining me again. It's been fun, and, we'll see you next time. Bye!